Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson on the role and responsibility of the pastor.
Pastors have a big responsibility today to give their people the Word of God, to let them hear God's Word, feeding the flock, teaching the people of what God requires, what God desires, His will for our lives.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
We often hear of the need for revival in the church, but it may be our need is revival in the pulpit. Glad you're with us for today's Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. In our study of 2 Chronicles, we've been learning about revivals. We left off last time considering why revival was so often needed. Here now with more on that point from 2 Chronicles 29, starting in verse 6, is Pastor Jeff once again.
So instead of getting on their faces to the Lord and seeking Him, they just turned their back on Him and did their own thing. Over in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2, he says, "The Lord is with you while you are with Him, and if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him," if you turn your back on Him, He will forsake you. And rightly so. I mean, you don't want to be His friend? You don't want to walk with God? He goes, "Okay, then walk with the other guy. See how it works out." Let me ask you right now, how is it working out? Are you experiencing the peace of God that passes understanding, the joy of the Lord, unspeakable and full of glory? No. You turn your back, then He says, "I'll forsake you." Notice verse 7. "Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch." So everything was shut up, "and put out the lamps that have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel." This is all about their worship. This is all about how they would come in and do the sacrifices, do the burning of incense, the prayers of God's people, and everything is pointing towards New Testament reality. Everything in the temple. Over in 1 Peter in chapter 2, verse 5, he says, "You also, as living stones, are built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." He's saying, we, once we come to know the Lord, we're walking as priests, being able to intercede for our family, for our kids, for those that we love, for those that hate us. We can love our enemies. I mean, that's powerful. And pray for them. He goes on to say in verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." That's for sure, right? Bunch of weirdos to the world's eyes. Peculiar. "That you should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." He took you out of that pit that you were in. And if you'll go back, some of you have been around a while, if you'll go way back and ask Him to show you flashes of that pit, you'll just be so thankful. You'll be so thankful. Sometimes we get going and we forget where we were called from, where, how gutter. We were just messed up. We hit the bottom. We hit the wall the last time. And we cried out. And He picked us up. And He delivered us from that pit. And set us on the solid rock of Christ. Then verse 8, he says, "Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem. And He had delivered them to trouble." Oh, that's an interesting verse. He delivered them to trouble. His wrath came down on them. He got so angry at the way they were going and living their lives that he allowed all this stuff to take place because he loved them. He cared about them. So he delivered them to trouble. Over in Hebrews, way back in Hebrews chapter 12, it says in verse 5, Hebrews 12, 5, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him." Don't freak out when he's spanking you. Let him spank you. That's a healthy thing. As parents should always discipline their children. And you discipline in love. But you discipline, and when you discipline, ooh-wee, it hurts. And you go, "I don't want to do that again. That was unpleasant. I don't want to have to go through that again." Well, maybe you do, though, because you haven't woke up. You haven't continued. You're still, you know, doing what you've been doing. So notice he says, and then in Hebrews 12, 6, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives." And he'll go after us, and that's healthy. Then you know you're loved, right? I had an adopted son I was taking into our family. His name was Jared, and we only had him 2 weeks. But he was so wild because of foster care and all that. I think he was around 5, maybe 6. And, man, I suited him up big time. I got him all the cool shirts and everything. I have a son, you know. Everything's girls at my house. So I have a son. This guy was so unruly, though. We'd ask him to take a bath. He said, "No way," you know. And he was just belligerent. And he would grab his throat and he'd try to choke himself, you know, like threatening me that I'll kill myself if you make me do anything. I mean, he'd turn red. I mean, just a weird deal. So I would take him and I would spank him. He looked at me really strange. And then it happened again and again and again. And I kept on, not in anger, but you're gonna obey me. You're gonna obey me. Wake up, man. Wake up. Wake up. Finally, he was taken by his grandmother and so taken out of our home, and that was a crushing blow. But he did something very special when they were making the exchange. He said, "You know, those people, they love me," he said. And then he said, "Because they spanked me." Who thought? The Bible is right. Parents, don't go away from here and say, "Jeff told me to beat my kid." No. And I don't want any letters. The Bible says we're to chasten our children because you love them and because you want them to do right. And some of you were abused and that was wrong. And you need to forgive. But don't you do it and turn and do it. Because that happens a lot, doesn't it? But you know, God has got that sense and that way about him where he knows just enough and just what to do for all of us. And then there's one more verse there in verse 11. It says, "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous." Yeah. "But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." God just wants fruit from our lives, and he doesn't want us to, you know, just burn out. He doesn't want us to waste time. He wants us to just get it on with him and be fruitful in our lives. And so he chastens us. And thank God he does. We wouldn't be here right now. We would have backslid and just ran away or whatever. But no, because he chastens us in a way that brings us back to our first love. So He delivered them to trouble, verse 8, to astonishment, to hissing. I mean, people hated the Jews, as you see with your eyes. "For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this." And that happened in 2 Chronicles 26. I mean, it was unbelievable. What a contrast in Uzziah's reign. He had militarily and economically, he was doing well. He was in an economic prosperity, but it went to his head and he backslid. I mean, a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. That's Uzziah. That's what happened to the guy, man. So he says now, verse 10, it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord. In other words, we blew it so bad, guys, we must rededicate our lives. We must make a covenant with God because there is a way out. You don't have to continue to receive wrath because there's that part of him that loves us so much that if we repent, he forgives us. Do you get it? It's so important. So let's make a covenant with the Lord, God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Guys, let's get back to God. Let's worship him. You remember how sweet it was when we're at church twice, three times a week? We're just at prayer meeting. We watched God use us. We got into ministry. We started going back to Sunday school and be used of the Lord. Do you remember those days? Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. For God has not appointed us to what? To wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to go through it. You can repent and get it right and move on with your life. Don't keep holding on to sin. It's the thing that blocks God from answering your prayers and from reaching down and saving you. Repent. Remember what Jesus said. Or else you're going to be hurting. My sons, verse 11, be not now negligent. Come on, guys. For the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister unto him. Notice that. He ministers to us, but tonight we're ministering to him. As we worship him, as we receive communion, as we sit at his feet and we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and we're hiding it in our hearts and burn incense, again, the prayers. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Get on with the restoration of the Lord. The second greatest work that God does. The first is salvation. The second is restoration when we get away. How he brings us back. And guess who gets the glory when that happens? Not Satan, the Lord. See, so many times we stay in that state of being wiped out and rebellious. And guess who gets all the glory for that? Satan. He keeps us down. He says, yeah, just stay there. You might as well just eat worms and kick cans and just give it up, man. You're no good. You keep blowing it. And man, he gets you really down, doesn't he? And we got to wake up to that. It's lies. And we got to turn towards him and seek that restoration. Notice verse 12. Then the Levites arose. The Levites. In other words, pastors have a big responsibility today to give their people the word of God. To let them hear God's word. Feeding the flock. Teaching the people of what God requires. What God desires, his will for our lives. So the Levites, the priests responsible, over in 1 Timothy 3:15, I love going from the old to the new. It just fulfills it. This is 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, Paul said to Timothy, that thou mayest know how thou oughtst to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so he says, I'm doing my part. And so you can understand who you are, Timothy. So you can do what God's called you to do. And that's to sit at his feet and take it in. And then we see that the Kohathites in verse 12, Merariah, and the Gershonites, the three tribes there, and the sons of Elzaphan, the sons of Asaph in verse 13, the sons of Heman, these are the Levitical musicians that were responsible to get their act together in the temple to get things going as far as praise to the Lord. and the sons of Jeutham, and that is the spiritual leadership that is to gather the people. And so verse 15, they gathered the brethren, they sanctified themselves first, they gave their hearts to the Lord and said, Lord, this is your vessel. You use me as a vessel of honor. You use me to lead the people in the worship, to teach the people the word of God. So they sanctified themselves. They set themselves aside. They took time to do what they needed to do so God could work through them to those that they're ministering to. Do you see that? And as you set this time, you worked a long, hard day, and now you come to sit here and listen to the word of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. You have sanctified yourselves for this night. Set yourselves aside for God to speak to. You don't think that's with great dividends and great blessing? Because what you receive, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance and then use it in your life this week even. So they sanctified themselves. They came according to the commandment of the king. And you know what our king says? Get to church, man. I am the head. You are the body. You need this time. Don't forsake yourselves gathering together. Manner, go more by the words of the Lord. Notice, he was obeying God's word to cleanse the house of the Lord. And that was the most important thing, to see that thing cleaned out. So, Lord, clean these temples. Clean us, Lord. Clean us from all the filth that we pick up in this world. Cleanse us by your blood tonight. Make us new creations. If we've had a leak, plug it up and fill us full of your spirit. And the priests went, verse 16, into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. They're digging deep and brought out all the uncleanliness, all the idols, all the funk and the mire of all those years of darkness that they found in the temple of the Lord unto the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. That's where they burned that stuff up and destroyed it. So they carried it all out, got rid of it. Verse 17, now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. There it is again, to set aside. And on the eighth day of the month, they came to the porch of the Lord so that they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. I mean, it didn't take long. It took some perseverance. It took some hard sacrifice. It won't take long. I mean, hey, you've been in that state. And sometimes I talk to a couple that they're just going through it, and they were there so long. I just tell them, you know, it's going to take a little while to get out of what you've built up here. This thing is pretty messed up, but it's going to take a while. But God does quick works. He moves along. He knows that time is of essence. He knows we're in the end times, the last days. And so he wants to do a quick work in us. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Lord, cleanse us, sanctify us. Let us see the importance of dedicating ourselves to you on a daily basis so the world doesn't capture us. And it took the 16th day of the first month, they made it to an end. So the total thing was cleaned out, cobwebs, everything done, clean as a whistle. It only took a matter of days. And that's all it takes to turn us around if we'll just simply say, Lord, here I am, messed up. Here I am, talking divorce with my wife. Here I am, going through another relationship, and it's not godly. We're messing around. We're sleeping together. Here I am again with my sin in my heart, and I'm not doing nothing with it. I continue to go to church because I know it's good, but I don't deal with it, so I leave, and I'm in the same spot again. Where's the change? It happens here tonight. And we leave here new creatures, new creations. We take a serious look at what God has given in His Son and the blood that He shed, and we receive the healing that we need so desperately, the cleansing. Verse 18, then they went in to Hezekiah the king. And they said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, and the altar, the burnt offering, and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof." You know, that bread that speaks of communion. You know, that whole thing of the sacrifices speaks of the blood that is shed by our Lord. And they got everything done, ready to go. The altar of burnt offering, everything was cleansed. The vessels were brand new. Let's do a new, tear down the walls, let's build a new house. That's exactly what they did. So God can do that in us. Tear down those walls of rebellion, rebellious nature that seems to come up and block our relationship with you. Come in and cleanse us with your blood of any kind of anger or hatred. He can do incredible things. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away. Remember, we talked about it in 2 Chronicles 28, 24, that he broke up all the vessels. A lot of the vessels, he just chopped it up and gave it away and sold it. So what did they do? Because of his transgression, his sin, and what he did with some of the implements and some of the things that they needed to sacrifice, we prepared and sanctified and made new. And behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Lord, help us to just put ourselves on that altar and say, "Lord, here I am. Take me." Took 16 days, man, to get back to worship, to get the cleansing, the sanctification, to get back to prayer, to get back to the offering. Offering ourselves as what? Living sacrifices to be used of the Lord. And eventually, if you cheat a little bit and go to 2 Chronicles 30 in verse 26, 2 Chronicles 30, 26. "So there was great joy in Jerusalem." I can see it all now. "There's great joy in Downey. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem." What are they talking about? They're talking about the Passover. There was never one like this since Solomon. The Passover was so awesome. What God showed to them, what God did to them. What is revival? It's a lot of things, isn't it? But I think mostly it's Acts 2:42 in our own hearts. And that is that daily, they consistently, steadfastly were in the Word of God. They were in prayer. They were in fellowship with other Christians. If you get, it's like a barbecue. You know, you take one of those briquettes that are burning, and they're going to really do a number on your steak, and they're going to get it sizzling, and they're going to cook it well. But you take one of those apart and put it by itself, it instantly goes out. It's good for nothing. Do not forsake yourselves gathering together. Fellowship is so important.
The need for fellowship in the Lord and with His people is critical, especially as we see the day approaching. This is Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson is in a study of 2 Chronicles. His message today is called The Beginning of Revival, Part 1. Hey, would you like to hear today's message from 2 Chronicles once again? You know, it couldn't be easier when you visit sounddoctrineradio.org or purchase the CD by calling 800-353-7553. That's 800-353-7553. You know, with all that's been happening in our world, many believers are thinking about the rapture, and perhaps more than ever. Here's a question for you. Are you ready for the rapture? Now, you think that through with Pastor Chuck Smith in his book, On the Rapture. God has given us the signs that would precede the coming of Jesus. See for yourself what the Bible says about the rapture and what you should be doing in anticipation of it. You can request a copy today by calling 800-353-7553 or simply by going online, sounddoctrineradio.org. And please remember, when you give to the ministry, you're You're helping us provide sound doctrine to listeners all over the world. Even a gift in the amount of a cup of coffee will help us greatly in that endeavor to get the word out in these last days. Again, go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. We want to hear what God is up to in your life and how He's using sound doctrine to help you in your walk. It's very encouraging to the team. Email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And let us know how we can pray for you. And then come back next time when Pastor Jeff will return to our series in 2 Chronicles on sound doctrine. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey and made possible through your generous support. So, Father,